So, to the question that we mentioned last week, the one that was raised at PCC a couple of weeks ago, that someone there had been asked at work, maybe a question others have faced as well, is this virus God's judgment on sin? We can be pretty sure, can't we? There'll be lots of Christians saying that it is. What does the Bible say? Three things, quickly. First, like all suffering, this virus, COVID-19, is God's judgment on human sin, because all suffering is God's judgment on human sin. So I'm sure many of us know the story of Genesis 3, where humanity disobeys God and the world is cursed. Bad things come into our world because God judges humanity. He judges this world, curses it because of our sin. If there had been no sin, if there was no sin, there would be no suffering. And therefore there would be no COVID-19 either. So like all suffering, COVID-19 is God's judgment on human sin. But the second thing to say, Jesus is very clear that we can't make easy connections between particular examples of suffering and particular sins. He's so clear about that. We need to be very careful about making that one-to-one correspondence between individual types of suffering and individual types of sin. So in Luke 13, gets asked the question about some people who've been massacred in a religious ceremony. And he also talks about people who've died when a tower fell on them. And Jesus says very clearly, he seems to say, it didn't happen to them because they were any more sinful than anybody else. Or in John chapter 9, he's confronted with a man born blind. And Jesus knocks completely on the head the idea that the reason the man is suffering through blindness is because he has particularly sinned, or his parents have particularly sinned. So Jesus himself tells us there isn't necessarily a one-to-one correspondence between particular examples of suffering and particular examples of sin. And while there will be many who'll be quick to say coronavirus is God's specific judgment for something particular, we need to be cautious about that. Third thing to say, suffering now, including COVID-19, is a small-scale example of God's final judgment, which God uses to call people like us back to him in repentance, so that we find safety in him for that day of final judgment. The book of Joel, you might just want to turn to the book of Joel. Perhaps just pause the recording for a moment if you need a moment or two to find Joel in the Minor Prophets. And you want to turn to Joel chapter 2. The issue then, it wasn't COVID-19, it was a phenomenal plague of locusts sweeping through the land where God's people were living. Yeah, interesting to see in the news. I mean, we've barely noticed it with the virus stuff, but there has been this massive plague of locusts, you might have seen, doing extraordinary damage in East Africa right now. And that's what they were going through when Joel was writing. And it was just devastating, absolutely devastating, as the land was stripped of all living plants, all food. And it's described in Joel chapter 1, you might notice, Joel chapter 2, verse 1, as the day of the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The day of the Lord is the Bible's term for the great final day of God's judgment, when he will come back to put the world right. And yet in Joel chapter 2, this plague of locusts is described as the day of the Lord too. You see it there in verse 11, after this very, very frightening description of what the locusts are like, described kind of as an army approaching. In verse 11, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? So Joel is saying this locust thing, this is the day of the Lord too. It's like a foretaste of God's final judgment on the great day of the Lord. It's like a little day of the Lord to wake us up and warn us that that big day of the Lord is coming. Why does God send it? Well, look at verses 12 to 14. So that we'll do what the Lord calls us to do, so that we're ready for that final day. Verse 12, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. God sends things like the locust plague and this virus to call us. It's like he's raising his voice from heaven and he's calling us to repent properly, truly, and to turn back to him. And wouldn't that be a great thing if we were to see that in these days with this virus? Can't help feeling to watch the news, it's being missed so far. I was listening to Thought for the Day on the radio a week and a half ago, and someone, a clergy person, saying this is a wonderful opportunity for us to reassess our relationships with ourselves, our self-esteem, our mental health, our relationships with other people and with our planet. And no mention of God at all. When God is sending something, he's using to call us back to him so we're ready for the day when Jesus returns. Wouldn't it be great as we realise how out of control things are, how beyond our control they are, if the Lord was to use this to make us realise how much we need him and we need to be ready for the day when we see him, so that we see many individuals we can think of, many in our local area, many in our nation and many worldwide returning to the Lord in genuine repentance. So we pray, verse 13, that we would see again just how gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love he is. So is this virus God's judgment? Well, yes, because all suffering is. But we can't easily, quickly say it's because of any particular sin. And yet there is no question the Lord is using it to call us, others, back to himself before that great day of his final judgment comes. I hope that's helpful. If you've got other questions on the virus, please do feed them in and we'll try to address them too. But now we're going to pray together. And I'm going to lead us in three prayers and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer, which is on the sheet as well. Our first prayer will be praying in the light of what we've just been thinking about with the virus. Let's pray. Father, we pray for mercy on our country and on our world. Our sin is so bad that you would be quite within your rights to bring your great final day of judgment right now and to judge us as we deserve. We shudder at what we see happening around us, the news of a rising death toll, the stories of the NHS under such pressure and such disruption to normal life, the economic damage that's being done as well. And yet we thank you that you are kind enough to send something like this to call us back to yourself so that we will be ready for that day when we stand before you at the end of time on your great day of judgment. We pray so much that you would turn back the tide of this infection. We pray so much that you would prosper the work to develop vaccines and medicines. We pray that you would particularly help those on the front line, health workers, others like teachers too. We pray that help would be got to vulnerable people. But above all, we do pray that you would be using what is going on to soften hearts, to humble hearts, so that many, including people we know personally, would do that thing that you're calling for and return to you in genuine repentance, that we might know your grace and your mercy. Please, would we see that happening in individuals and in our local area and in our nation and in the world. Please have mercy for your glory. Amen. We're going to pray now for mission partners of ours, the Richardsons in Novosibirsk in Siberia. We're praying particularly for them today because today is the day Alex certainly was due to be formally ordained as a pastor in their new church plant that he's serving in now. So let's pray for them. We thank you, Lord, for Alex and Nadia and Andrea and Dennis. We do praise you for our partnership with them and for the joy of hearing their news. We thank you for keeping them safe and healthy so far. We thank you that certainly the latest we heard from Alex, that the virus stuff seems to be going more slowly there than in the rest of the world. We thank you for the boys thriving at school and at kindergarten. And thank you too for news of Nadia really enjoying getting to know people in her new church family. for the opportunity to develop deeper relationships there. Help them, please, as a family, to stay well, to be growing in faith. We pray that especially for the boys. We pray that you protect both of their parents, and especially Alex's parents back here in the UK. Please would they get the support that they need while he's out there. And we pray that you would build that new church. Use them, please. Help them to serve you in love and unity as they make you known. And we pray that you would especially equip Alex today, that he might be a great pastor to that congregation, a faithful shepherd of your people, like the Lord Jesus in all he does. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll pray for some things around the church family. We do want to pray this week, Lord, especially for our medics, for those who are serving in the health service. We think of Ruth Dand and Andrew Perry and Phil Conahan and Sam Clements and others too. We pray as that workplace comes under such pressure at the moment, that you would help them to keep trusting you, to keep serving. We pray that you'd keep them safe, that you'd keep them healthy, that you'd give them opportunities to point others around them to the hope that they have in you. Please would they know you strengthening and upholding them every day. We pray too for our teenagers in our church family. As all being well, some kind of virtual toast gets going this week. Help them to enjoy meeting together and looking at your word together. Would they be encouraging one another in following you? We pray for the Coombs School again. Thank you that we're now able to get videoed assemblies to them. And we pray that they would be greatly enjoyed by the children in the school and others at home as well. Help them to be trusting Jesus at this time. And we thank you that we have been able to leaflet the parish this week. We thank you for news of some receiving those leaflets so warmly. We pray for good contacts with people in the local area. Help us to serve them well, to live and speak in ways that honour you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let's finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. So we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Do click on the next link for the reading and Julian's talk.